It's the Gadget Grill for February 15th, 2009. I'm Lee Stark.
I am Gary Stark. And sitting in the corner today, we have Mr. Andrew Bale joining us. Good evening, Andrew. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I am never better, never better. Did you enjoy Valentine's Day yesterday? Did you get something interesting?
I certainly did. It was very romantic.
Oh, ooh. Excellent.
Dad, you've been playing with Andrew again, haven't you?
You weren't supposed to be looking.
I wasn't supposed to pay attention. I really didn't want to know. But, you know, the door was half open and I couldn't just do anything else.
Yeah, we've got to get a private studio, Andrew.
We must. The shed sounds like an interesting place.
The shed. Yeah, the shed would be good.
Welcome to the show. What a bad way to bring in the show. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Listen to three geeks sitting in a studio with three different laptops.
Yeah, you're right. Everybody in here's got their own laptop. We're doing all sorts of different things on here. But at least what I'm doing is semi-useful because I am actually running the show from the laptop, which I do every week.
You look like you're configuring something, to be honest, Andrew.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing anything. I'm not going to sabotage the show just yet.
Oh, what are you waiting for, mate?
I think he's waiting to hear what's actually going to be on the show tonight.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah. What's going to be on the show tonight? Tonight we're talking about wireless in your home, setting it up. Actually, I'm not going to be talking much about this because I've got to admit, I've got no idea about it. It's not my area.
No comment.
Instead, in this area, I'll defer to Gary and probably Andrew on this one, who knows probably more about it than I do. My area is not this.
What do you know about setting up wireless, Andrew?
Plug in and play.
There you go.
And hopefully it'll be just...
It sounds like your Valentine's Day.
Oh, hopefully it'll just be as easy as that. Not quite as personal, I guess. So we'll start it off with a song. This is Thelonious Monk with You Took the Words Right Out of My Heart. It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ. My name is Lee Stark. Gary Stark is over there turning someone's headphones on. And eventually, if you can hear him, there's Andrew to my right.
Hello.
Now you can hear him.
So I can hear me too.
Well, that's a worry.
three geeks in a box reading the news, which is where we are now. Who wants to start the news today?
I'll start. I'll start with something. Samsung and T-Mobile have announced they've got a new memoir phone. And they say it's a smartphone that creates a new class of cell phone. Yeah, as if.
Phone creates a new class of phone?
Yeah, yeah.
Pregnancy's
which they're
wrong.
Calling the camera phone. This divides leads not with its voice or networking capabilities, but with its camera.
So it's a camera with a phone in it?
It's a camera with a... Well, that's what they'd like you to think, yeah. Okay. An 8-megapixel camera. But sadly, with this device, Samsung has ignored the necessity of Wi-Fi. So it's got no Wi-Fi.
Wow.
It apparently does make phone calls. But
oh, that's good.
But apparently it also takes photos. And according to a marketing guy from Samsung, this is the camera phone that will make people want to leave their digital camera at home. Lee, you've got the 5D in your bag there. You're going to leave that at home in preference
no.
to...
But actually, what I find interesting, you said that was made by Samsung and it's called the Memoir and it's an 8-megapixel phone, right?
An 8-megapixel camera.
Sorry, 8-megapixel camera phone.
Yes.
Okay, so it's called the Memoir and it's made by Samsung.
Yes.
That's interesting because LG last year released a model called the Renoir, which was 8-megapixel and it was more of a camera than a phone as well. Sound like they're playing catch-up? It sounds a bit like that to me.
I wouldn't say anything like that, would I?
And the Renoir was a really good haptic sort of feedback phone. I enjoyed my Renoir playback.
You held it between your legs while it vibrated.
Whoa, too much imagery. Speaking of camera phones, I'll throw one in here. Samsung have their, you know, their nice... Are you sure it's an 8-megapixel?
That's what it says.
Okay, well, NEC have developed a 12-megapixel camera phone sensor. So, you know, eat that.
Okay, so megapixel wars are back.
Yeah, apparently this, though, has the option to export to full HD video as well, this 12-megapixel sensor. So theoretically...
HD video, you're talking 1020...
We're talking 1080p. We're talking 1920 by 1080 resolution. And so instead of,
cell phone.
In a cell phone. So, you know, instead of actually taking pictures, you're now shooting video directly for your Blu-ray player. From your phone, because it's no longer a phone, it's a camera phone thing.
Oh dear, Channel 9 are going to love that. They're going to get everybody sending in their videos.
They build their stock archive just from...
What do you got, Andrew?
Well, San Francisco Bay Area commuters will soon have the ability to access fee-based Wi-Fi internet access from Bay Area Rapid Transit trains and stations.
Like Starbucks, but moving.
Yes.
Yeah,
for a second I thought that said free, but now it says fee.
Fee.
Yeah.
There's a slight difference.
There's no such thing as free when it comes to Wi-Fi, it would appear.
Well, you could go to Glory Jeans.
You could go to Glory Jeans, yeah.
Any one of them. Wi-Fi Rail and the San Francisco Bay Area Rapid Transit District have finalized a 20-year agreement to provide high-speed mobile Wi-Fi access throughout their transit system on all commuter trains.
That's actually quite an extensive transit system that they've got in San Francisco. They call it the BART, and it extends to rail as well as surface-based bus transit. And it covers San Francisco, goes under the bay across to Oakland and on the peninsula, sort of heading up there, Palo Alto and areas like that as well. It's really quite extensive. So
that's actually
going to be very interesting.
Tell you what, it wouldn't be bad if they still had Alcatraz running. You'd be sitting in the jail and you'd be able to access your iPhone news without a problem.
Listening
to the Gadget Grill while being in
the
Alcatraz.
The iPhone user of Alcatraz.
Yeah. Escape from the iPhone user of Alcatraz with Clint Eastwood in his old age.
Yeah. I've got another T-Mobile story. T-Mobile, of course, are a large... mobile phone carrier in America.
Think of it like Telstra for America.
No, these people are actually quite reasonable.
Okay.
Not that Telstra are unreasonable, but when I go to America, I use T-Mobile. Was that a free plug? Probably not.
For either Telstra or T-Mobile? Careful.
I don't know. T-Mobile has introduced a service that will save you hundreds of minutes a month on your cell phone plan, on your mobile phone plan over there, and for not a lot of extra money. The relevance for us, of course, here is that this is something that we may see in Australia at some point in time. The trick here is that it turns your over-air cellular calls into over-the-net VoIP calls. What they're doing is they've got technology now that while you're in your home and you've got your cell phone in your home, it's going to connect via 3G to your internet connection, and any phone calls that you make will be made over your internet connection using VoIP technology. You're still on the phone and you walk outside your home and you leave the confines of your home network, it will gracefully hand over the call to the T-Mobile wireless mobile phone network.
It's kind of a good idea because most of us don't really have good reception, you know, and have good use of our systems anyway. We go home and we...
Well, certainly where we live. We live in the darkest dungeon of cell phone hell.
Bondi hell.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, that's quite interesting and good technology, I think.
I've got something for you that's really unusual. It's an unusual use of a technology store in this case.
Okay.
Circuit City.
I remember Circuit City.
Yeah, most people try to forget it, actually. It's in America, it's just another electronics chain. If you could think of a slightly better staffed version of Harvey Norman in a strangely facaded...
Why are you laughing, Andrew?
In a strangely
hardly
facaded...
Normal.
Hardly normal. Now, hardly normal. Yeah. If you could think of the strange block of that, they're actually... This retail chain in America has gone bankrupt, and the stores are being shuttered basically left, right and centre.
I actually saw closed stores when I was there... in April last year.
Yeah, yeah. So
sit, Andrew. Stop playing.
It's worse now more than ever for the company, unfortunately. You know, because they're dead. And
getting back to the story,
according to one part of America, some mob's taken over called DJM Realty of the store complexes, and they're trying to push them as high school uses. And if you could think of how large these stores are and how that they've been turned into massive arrays and complex little paths going through it, you could kind of picture a college or a small public school inside of one.
It's a very interesting concept.
Especially if they could leave a lot of the in-house TV screens and whatnot, you know, sitting there.
Sort of they've got plasmas all over the place, or last time I was in one they had plasmas all over the place, so you could have, you know, you could do your... do your lectures on plasma and you sit in the back room listening to the lecture via your iPhone. That sounds cool.
Speaking of plasmas, I've got one more news story for you.
Okay.
Pioneer have left the TV business. Their Kuro, their big plasma displays, they're not going near it anymore. They're going to do Blu-ray. They're going to do everything else they normally do. They're just going to exit TVs, which is kind of a shame because in the past few years, they have done some of the best TVs the world has ever seen.
That's very interesting.
Especially since they, you know, I think they were showing stuff off at CES.
So that's a few people that's dropped out of the TV market lately.
Yeah, Hitachi did it as well, but I think Hitachi only did it in this country.
Right, but yeah. I've heard of a few other companies as well. I think I've even heard that Philips, somebody else, there's another major
there's
manufacturer.
There's no way Philips will do it.
There's another major manufacturer.
Not with that 21:9 TV coming out.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay, I think it's time that you announce the next piece of music, Lee.
Sure. The next song is called Natasha by Rufus Wainwright.
You walk alone in the valley of life, in the shadow.
...88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Inner West. This is the Gadget Grill, and my name is Lee Stark.
I am Gary Stark.
And I'm Andrew Beale.
And if you want to find out about anything we're talking about on the show tonight, head to www.gadgetgrill.com.au. Right now, we're taking a look at our feature. And as the song fades out, I'm going to leave the stage mostly to Gary Stark, because this is not an area I know much about.
And he actually admits it. Isn't that good?
I'm free to admit that. I've got no problem with that.
Okay, the feature tonight, we're going to talk about wireless networking and basically go through a couple of the steps that you need to go through in order to set it up.
And because I'm the idiot in this one, I'm going to ask stupid questions.
The only stupid question is the question that you don't ask. So, listener, pay attention and ask questions, please. Send us an email if there's anything that I say that you don't understand, which will probably be most of it. Okay, setting up a wireless. First thing you need to do, of course, is get yourself some sort of a wireless access point or a router. Typically, for around about the $100 mark today, you can go down to one of your local computer stores, and there's lots of them around the place, and you can buy what's called a wireless modem router.
You have a review of one on our website, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, you have
I do indeed. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. You're quite right.
Yeah.
There is one up there already, yes. I needed to set one up for a friend a few weeks ago. And you'll pick up something fairly decent for around about the $100 mark. What it'll do is it'll let you connect, first of all, to your ISP via ADSL or ADSL Plus or ADSL2. Let you share your network at home between, typically, they've got four wired connection, so you can set up four wired computers to it, and it'll also let you set itself up as a wireless one if you get one that's typically they'll have a W in the name somewhere. Now, to set it up as wireless, first thing you need to do is actually connect to it via wired. Just plug in, it'll come with an Ethernet cable, you plug that into the Ethernet cable on your computer, and you plug it into one of the ports on the back of the modem device.
Does the sort of cable matter? I mean, there's Cat5, Cat5e, and Cat6. Does it matter what cable
you use?
Any
of those will work.
Okay.
Any of those will work.
Don't use telephone wire. Use Ethernet wire.
That is very true. The telephone plugs, the little modular connectors on those are actually somewhat smaller. When you look at the size of them, you'll see they're physically smaller. And while they will fit, they won't work. So, as I say, the unit will come with an Ethernet cable, plug it into your computer, plug it into your router. Obviously, your computer's got to be on. Now, often they come with a disk, a little CD that you stick in your computer, and you can hopefully, if they're done right, follow the instructions, and that'll let you connect wired up to your computer.
I had half good luck with a Belkin one I set up at work.
Oh, yeah?
It got me to a point where it was usable, and then the modem stopped working, and I had to work around it. So I think it kind of hampered my easy install.
Well, in fact, the easy install from the CD that came with the one that I reviewed on the website, that failed to connect as well. I could see that I was connected to it on the computer. You know, sort of everything was there telling me that that the two machines were talking to one another. But the setup disk failed to recognize that the devices were connected. Really good.
I think I'm going to say it straight out. If you do get a CD with it and it doesn't work, don't worry. It's not you. It's probably the CD just wasn't made well and the people making the device.
The software wasn't made well. CD will be fine.
CD will be fine.
Always good as a cup holder.
Well, actually, it's a coaster. Or if you get you string three of them together and you use them as a mobile over your baby's crib.
Make a clock out of them. That's what we used to do with the Windows 95 discs.
That's the early alpha versions of Windows 95.
Yeah, the gold ones.
We've got some. You haven't seen those, Andrew. We've got alpha Windows 95. I've actually got Windows 95 on floppy disk.
Back to it, Dad.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, once you get your computer talking to the router, the next thing now is to set it up for wireless. First thing you got to do is enable wireless. The second thing that you want to do is you want to enable some form of security. If you don't enable security on your router, then what's going to happen is your next door neighbour might have a wireless computer and he'll see your network there and he'll think, oh, that's great. Someone's got a wireless network here. Let me use their network instead of mine for surfing the internet.
I have to admit that as an iPhone user, I quite like walking through the city and tagging onto everyone else's wireless so I can download my email.
Yeah, that's called war driving, actually, or in your case, war walking.
Yeah.
But the idea is that you need to secure your network from intruders. Now, there's a number of ways you can
like
do
me.
That. Yeah. One of the ways is to use something like... An encrypted connection, and that's always good to work, and that's certainly a very good starting point from it. And you've got a number of different levels of that. Web 2, a couple of WPA. Any of those are good, and you know, they'll serve you well as a first line of defense. Second line of defense is what's called the SSID, which is the station security identifier, and that's how your router is going to be known on the network. First of all, it's okay to leave the default name as it is, but you can hide that from the network. You can actually tell your router that you don't want it to be displayed. Now, if it's not going to be displayed across the network, that makes it just that little bit harder for other people to see it and find it. But what I think is probably one of the better ways of doing it is to use MAC address controlling. Now, within your computer, your wireless network card, any of your network cards, in fact, have what's called a MAC address. Don't worry about what MAC stands for. Just understand that this is a unique identifier for the physical network card in your computer.
And in case you're curious, MAC doesn't specifically mean you have an Apple Mac. It's just a terminology.
It's just a TLA.
A three-letter acronym.
Yes. Now, what you do is you get your MAC address from your computer, and it'll be probably on a sticker on the back of the computer, or else you could run from a command prompt ipconfig/all if you're using Windows.
To do that, you hit Start menu or hit the Start the Windows button with R. That'll activate the Run command, and then you type in cmd and enter, and you got a command prompt, and you type in ipconfig, you will get that.
That's exactly right. ipconfig /all. And that'll give you, if you look at the response that you get, one of those items will be the MAC address. It'll be labeled as such, and it'll be six sets of two characters separated by colons. And what you do is you enter those numbers into your router in the appropriate spot, press save, and then basically what you're doing is you're saying to your router, only allow computers that I specify, and you're specifying it with the MAC address, to connect to me for network access from the wireless perspective.
And that's a mostly secure network, what you've described there.
Yeah. If, you know, sort of if the computer is not known, if the MAC address is not known to the router, it says go away.
It's interesting. We had, I was talking to a hacker this week, someone who actually tried to break through one of our networks. And it was an interesting thing because we were talking about how you do it. And while the how you do it is actually fairly complicated and reserved for people who generally are sitting in this room right now, geeks, while it's complicated, protecting yourself is not. So as long as you use something like a WPA2 encryption and you do things like you do the MAC address filtering, as Dad has suggested there, you're generally going to be okay. What's interesting is that if people tag onto your network. And this is one of the reasons why you should do it. If they jump onto your network, then you start to face problems like, what if they're downloading illegal material through your network? Are you at risk?
And that could be very serious. If they're downloading or if they're uploading illegal material, then your ISP is not going to be very happy with you.
It's not. Yeah, it's not if just you, that. Court cases are very unsure about how to deal with this.
Yeah, if you have an ISP that charges you for downloads and uploads and charges you excess for them, some of them charge quite a lot of money for the excess.
Yeah.
And you can be up for an awful lot of money.
Yeah.
That can sometimes be very, very difficult. Of course, by using a MAC address, then that means that you can keep the girlfriend's boyfriend off the network so that he doesn't download big games and use up all of your capacity and you end up being shaped at the end of the month or even at the beginning of the month.
Personal experience? Don't want to hear about it. It's okay.
I know somebody who to whom that happened recently.
Yeah. We got a song?
I have a song.
You have a song. What's your song?
The song is Juliana Hatfield, and this is Such a Beautiful Girl. Jazz. It's not for everybody. It's better than that. Whether your taste is trad, blues, straight ahead, hard bop, bebop, New Orleans funk, or Afro-Cuban, we play it for you. Every weekday, 11 till 1. Here on Radio 2 RDJ FM 88.1 or on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com.
At 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, this is The Gadget Grill. My name is Lee Stark.
My name is not Lee Stark.
Your name is Gary Stark. And over here is another not Lee Stark. It's
Andrew Beale.
And if you want to listen to Andrew Beale's show, because he's another host on Radio 2RDJ, when are you on the air?
Oh, whenever I can squeeze in.
When are you on the air normally?
Normally, I'm on a Sunday.
Define normal.
So if for some reason you're hanging around your computer or your local radio thing, if you're on your computer, head to www.radio2rdj.com and listen to his show. What time?
That is a good question. Midday. I had to think about that.
What time do you actually have to get here by to do that on?
Usually about 9 in the morning.
On a Saturday.
Yeah, on a Saturday.
So if you want to listen to his show, he's on it Sunday at midday, and just like him, we're on a Sunday, except we're on at 9. Right now,
Andrew has been here all day, slaving over a hot control panel.
He was here when we got in. That's why he's in with us on the show tonight.
That's
because
it.
He holds the keys, and we can't do anything about that.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Speaking of holding the keys, what are you holding the keys for today? You've got a review.
I've got a review. I've got a couple reviews. We've got a useless gadget, and we've got a not-so-useless gadget. Which should we start with?
Let's start with the not-so-useless gadget.
Not-so-useless gadget. You might remember a couple weeks ago we had the Lenovo W700, that massive graphics tablet based computer, you know, with three mice. The
magic computer, that.
It's huge. It's. I wish I could afford one. It's $5,000, like something, or minimum price. And you can actually spruce it up to be a $12,000 computer.
This is the laptop that you pay for with the proceeds from your lap dancing.
Wow. I loved looking for lap dancers with graphic design skills.
There's more around than you think.
Yeah, probably are. I got inspired by the W700 with a program.
Hi,
called...
Patricia.
I got inspired with a program I was using on the W700 called Art Rage. And looking at this as well, it's basically a painting and drawing and everything tool that you can use with your graphics tablet. It allows you to put oil down, put pencil shavings down, or pencil down, put stencils down, and actually draw as you normally would, except without the whole mess. And that was about $25 US. I've bought it, and it's really good. I'm really impressed with it. And using it, I'm using it with this $40, $50 Genius 3x5-inch tablet called, I think it's the F350.
I thought that was a truck.
Yeah, so did I, and so did Google when I looked it up, actually. As a result, we're one of the only few places with a review of this thing.
So we've got a review of a truck.
Yeah, no, we've got a review of a Genius...
That's me.
Yeah, of a Genius tablet. And It's not a Wacom. You know, a Wacom is one of those fantastic tablets that they've been making for years. The Intuos, the Graphires.
Hang on, we're talking trucks and we're talking we're talking towns in Texas with a on the end.
Oh, wow. Just shut up already, okay? It's pretty good. It comes with a pen. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem to come with a little erase button, you know, rubber on the back of it. So you have to hit the rubber inside. Don't go there. It's pretty cool, though. It's got the ability to support shortcuts and macros with both Windows XP and Mac. I'm really enjoying it. I guess that it probably could come with a mouse for it, but it's a cheap tablet. If you're looking for a tablet for your kids on the fly, you know, something simple to get them into the whole painting spirit of things.
I'm really getting very concerned here.
What the hell?
We're talking tablets, trucks, rubbers.
Tablets
towns
for kids.
In Texas, and it's for kids.
No, you're talking. No. Let's just get one thing straight. I'm talking about a little thing, a digitizer you can write with. You're talking about the drug industry.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Let's get this clear now.
Okay. Now that we've got that sorted out,
we're completely different people. Who are you, and what have you done with my real dad?
Yeah.
Or is this one of the Lee, I am your real father sort of moments?
And here we are the day after Valentine's Day. I didn't even think it was Halloween.
Yeah. I guess we should go, because you're talking about Halloween, to our useless gadget. And we're now starting a useless gadget review section on our webpage. So if you want to see what this is, head to www.gadgetgrill.com.
Just before you go to that, I've got to make a comment. You remember a few weeks ago we talked about the e-cigarette?
Ah, yes.
Yes, because we haven't mentioned this yet.
Yeah, of course.
Because we got a comment on our review.
It wasn't so much a comment as it was a complaint.
I love complaints. I really do. Please, everybody, send the complaints to us at, go to our website and use the contact.
Or don't, unless you want the following to happen.
Yeah. This guy complained that he didn't think that our review of the e-cigarette was fair. Now,
it wasn't a review, technically.
It wasn't a review. We were talking about it in this segment here, the useless gadgets, and we considered it to be a useless gadget.
We did test it
useless,
on air.
As in
that was
useless.
That was our review. We tested it on air.
Yeah, and you're still coughing as a result of it.
Yeah, I'm in pain. I might start taking cigarettes as a result, though.
Anyway, this person wrote a comment about our review, said that it was unfair. We didn't give it a serious try. Well, he got that part of it right.
No, it was a test.
It was an unserious test. Yeah. The purpose of this show is primarily to entertain and educate.
The listener that we have.
Entertain both of you.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, you know, sort of we set out to entertain, and we did consider this to be a useless gadget, and we still do. So he complained about it, and he didn't actually mention in his complaint that he sells the damn things. He has a vested interest in them.
He said on his comment.
Yeah, exactly.
He said on his comment, you know, for those who are interested in the real deal, check out the websites. In his original comment, he actually listed 5 or 6 websites that were his. And at the bottom of his comment, he said, let the people themselves decide. Before this, he said, don't take these jokers' advice. We never gave any advice.
No, we didn't.
Last I remember, it was mostly me going... Just while I was trying, because I actually inhaled. He's right about one. He says that some people can actually use these things and they are more healthy smoking experience. Well, smoking's bad for your health, so that wouldn't be hard.
That's right. Will you put my cigars away, please?
Yeah, absolutely. you don't start that sort of stuff, especially if you're selling the bloody thing.
No, if you're selling the bloody thing, you don't have an at arm's length relationship with the product. You have less than zero credibility.
Speaking of which, this show has been sponsored by... No.
Okay, let's get on to today's useless gadget, Lee.
You might have to turn the mic up on this one, because just wait till I...
Let's see how it goes.
I've got
the dump button here.
You've got the finger on it, right? Okay, the dump button. Are you sure we're doing a show on this or toilets?
Well, I'll come to that in a moment.
Okay, I was looking around at Priceline yesterday, and I saw this, which looked interesting. This is called Tooth Tunes. Obviously, it's an invention by, I think it's Tiger, you know, the people who did Tiger Electronics, the handheld games.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they made some good games.
They did. They made the flip-down LCD systems for kids. I've had those growing up.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is a toothbrush designed to get your kids brushing your teeth, you know, because they don't exactly do it. And what it is a toothbrush that when you use it, it starts playing music or sounds through the toothbrush head, so that as you're using it, it reverberates in your mouth and you hear the music. And this comes in many varieties. There's a Kiss one for your 70s rock and roller kid, you know, that's probably a boyfriend. There's your Hilary Duff, Wake Up, that kind of makes sense. There's Let's Get It Started by the Black Eyed Peas, which I could only assume would make me want to blow my brains out. And then there's this one, which I got, which I thought was the classiest of them all. The Transformers Robots in Disguise Toothbrush.
The what?
Yeah, no, the Transformers Robots in Disguise Toothbrush. It's a big name.
Transformers Robots in Disguise Toothbrush. Make a note, listener.
With Optimus Prime sound effects from the cartoon. I'm just going to turn it on.
Prime, that's not Glutimus Maximus.
No. I'm just going to turn it on because we worked out how it works, so we know how to force it on. So I'll just turn it on. I am
Optimus Prime. Actually, that sounds better through the microphone like that than it does on your teeth.
Now, if for some reason you think that would be entertaining to...
Do that again. This is a bloody toothbrush.
It has two minutes of audio that it plays as you're brushing your teeth. What's really... I'll just turn this off because it's really in the button.
I can see kids brushing their teeth every day now.
Well, you can't because actually the instructions are very weird because it says it says 2 minutes of music. Hands up who thinks this is music. Great.
nobody put their hand up.
It says for best possible sound, turn off water. So don't use it and stuff.
Yeah, you know, for best possible sound, don't. Well, actually, that makes a lot of sense, you know. For the best possible sound, don't use it. That means it's kind of like, you know, sort of all those doof-doof cars that go past. The best sound that they make is when they've gone past, you no longer hear them. And that's pretty much saying the same thing, isn't it?
It says it instantly changes volume of brushing pressure. That's a load of crap.
Do it again.
In testing it this morning, I worked out how it works. You know, if you stop brushing sort of thing, if you just slow down, then the speaker turns off because it's got this little notch at the back. And if you push against it, then it starts.
Yeah, just a little pressure switch.
Yeah, so I'll do it again and I'll change the thing.
Okay, press it back harder. No increase in volume. Oh, hang on. That's me.
You know, it's not really fair for you to promote this thing even better, Dad, especially when it's a piece of crap.
We might be giving
is a few...
Is it a good toothbrush?
No.
Does it actually clean your teeth?
It did clean my teeth, but to be honest, I think it'd be better if I bought one of those Oral-Bs for like $10 more. it hurt my teeth. I think this is made for people with strong teeth, and kids don't generally have strong teeth. Turn off. It's got non-replaceable batteries in it. You can't actually pull this thing open.
So that means it's disposable.
Yeah, well...
That's a good idea.
Well...
Let's do it now.
Yeah.
So a quick question. You did say that the audio does come out of the brush head.
It comes out through the slots in the head, but you can hear it... Like, if you turn it on...
That means it must have a waterproof speaker.
Well, I was going to say, because that's the part you put in your mouth. So you wouldn't really want... certain wires coming out.
Well, Or to suddenly explode in your mouth.
Well, for some kids, I think that's probably a good idea.
And for the dental industry too, no doubt. I mean, this is the this does say Australian Dental Association seal of approval. I guess if it explodes in your mouth, they get more money.
Well, actually, you're misunderstanding that. The seal of approval, that's an animal down in Antarctica.
Oh, of course. He gives his approval. They're like, brush.
Well, have you seen the sort of teeth that seals and sea lions and everything have?
Yeah, these huge tusks. Yeah.
You know, this is wonderful.
Have we got a song?
Well, actually, before we go to a song, we're going to talk about what we've got next week.
Oh, we didn't get to go through all the songs, did we?
No, we didn't.
Oh, well. I guess...
We've been talking too much. We've been having way too much fun, as always.
As always. I guess next week we're talking about home studios. Do you have a home studio, Andrew?
No.
That's why he does all his shows from here.
Yes. Why do you not have a home studio, Mr. Beale?
Well, it could help if I had a home.
Are you the one who's been camping in the shed?
I was about to say.
That's me. I try and clean up before you guys get in there on a Tuesday.
It's made of bulletproof glass made in Australia, so if you feel like taking a shot, it won't work.
Okay. Now, I've been meaning to talk to you about that little pile of something in the corner, Andrew. Peter and I have been wanting to find out who it is that leaves that smelly pile of...
hamsters.
I think we'll have to save that for Tuesday.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll get Peter to clean it up on Tuesday.
And right now we're going to announce something kind of cool.
Yes.
I'd say it's very cool.
Very, very, very cool. For the next couple of weeks here on Radio 2 RDJ 88.1, we are going to be running a competition.
A good competition, not the sort that no one enters.
That's right, yeah. What you've got to do, if you're a listener and you have a favourite show, well, if you're a listener, you're obviously listening.
You probably have a favourite show. Hopefully it's us.
But even if it's not, we're not going to get overly upset. But what you've got to do is you've got to put together a slogan that you would like to hear for your favourite show. Send that in to the radio station. You can submit that via the website.
At www.radio2rdj.com.
And at the end of the contest, you may win a copy of Office for Mac, courtesy of Microsoft.
Yeah, Office 2008 for Mac. The guys at Microsoft, the team at Microsoft, rather than the guys, the team at Microsoft, have decided to give us it, which is really generous of them.
We thank you, Microsoft, and we look forward to seeing your entry in this new competition here at www.radio2rdj.com.
You heard it first on the Gadget Grill.
Yes.
So next week we're talking about home studios and how to create them. We're talking little decks, little software. We'll talk about some free software that'll help you do
that
it.
That is actually very, very good free software.
Pointed that out a few weeks ago, and he's really enjoying using it. It's not, unfortunately, what we use for the show, but you can get an idea. So tune in next week for more of the Gadget Grill. I'm Lee Stark.
I am Gary Stark.
There's Andrew Bill. He can say goodbye.
Goodbye.
And we'll see you next week. Check out www.gadgetgrill.com.au for more of what we've talked about. See ya.